Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
somebody who's a software engineer who sort of was wandering around whistling sort of Dixie for a couple of weeks, not really quite sure what was going on, and then happened to stumble upon a Team of Voices studio and for some insane reason actually got the studio working, which is what we pay for, like. And after 2 weeks, we got an email today saying that the studio was back up and running. No explanation of what had happened. No, nothing. But here we are, a Team of Voices on Blog Talk Radio. Go figure, it works for the first time in 2 weeks. Lovely to have you here. We're a Team of Voices on allpoetry.com. I'm here with Deb. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm absolutely fine. And then we've got Stephen, who's come along for the ride. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am very well. And then we have Mr. Wayne Gent, who's been very quietly sitting in the background for a couple of weeks. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
How you doing? How you doing? It's nice to be back.
Nice to be back. Exactly. And then, finally, the man who has become synonymous with fantasy football winning, Jay Hatter. How are you, Hatter?
I'm okay.
Excellent. Very, very good.
I made it, yeah.
So, Stephen, I think you are on a time crunch, I believe.
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Okay, so we should get your poem off the board, which you sent in all that stuff, time, whatever, ago, and put that up. Yes. And so I think that's one. Is that Stephen for Deb? Deb?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. Now, I'm going to do that now. And
here we go.
A Ribbon Candy Christmas by Stephen 76. As peppermint breezes flow from marshmallow skies, button candy lights twinkle neath icing glazed roof. Powdered sugar coats the ground, and through the air it flies. And snoozing gingerbread child dreams of reindeer hooves. End poem.
That's fun. See, Stephen, I think, invented the four-line ten. I don't think it sort of happened before Stephen happened upon it, because he's got a whole stack of them, you know, like almost 100. I think I have one. I don't know.
Me too.
Might be one. Anyway, but I love the roofs and the hooves. There's something about that, especially gingerbread. It's very Christmas, Steve. Now, I understand, and we're going to have to play it by ear a little bit because, of course, we've been off the air for a couple of weeks. Hatter and Stephen are having their sort of makeup show on Friday. Is that right, Deb?
Yeah.
They sure are, yeah. The man.
So any surprises that I may have prepared earlier, we can do on Friday.
Yes.
Okay, right, cool. Excellent. Just checking. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Stephen's very short, brief, 10-ranked poem?
Well, I agree with you. I do believe that he, Stephen 76, has invented this because I never saw a 4-line 10 before he got his first one. And, yeah, he's working towards 100, and I, too, have one. You would think it would be a little bit easier than it is, but it's not. Stephen's brilliant at it. And I got the Peanuts vibe as I was listening to him read, which was really cool. It was a great share.
And there's not even any fancy tricks like a semicolon. You know, that's my only hope of getting there. Wayne, did you want to say a few words?
Did you say Wayne?
Why, I just say Wayne? Yes.
Yeah, I didn't hear what's up. I didn't know if you said Wayne. Yeah, I like this nice poem. It's awful sweet, that's for sure. And I think I gained 3 pounds just hearing him read it. There's so much sugar in it. But it's a nice poem. I enjoyed it. All 4 lines is great.
Thanks, Wayne.
It's very nice. And Hatter, did you have something festive to say about Stephen's poem?
It's so warm and fuzzy at Christmas time.
It is one, brother.
Four.
It is. It's all
four
of that.
Lines, man. Yeah.
Yep. 4-line 10. It's pretty impressive. So, Deb, I've got no idea what shows are coming up in the following days because we haven't had time to think about it. But one show that I do know that's coming up is on Friday that Stephen and Hatter are having their very last Man Cave. So if you're a fan of the Man Cave, please do your best to be there on Friday, same bat cave time, same bat cave channel, come and running again. So, thank you, Stephen. Very, very happy for you to hang around for a while, but I suspect you might have to go candying off into the night.
Yes, unfortunately, I do have to hit the hay.
Say hi to Kay for us.
Yep. do that too.
See you Friday.
Back. And we'll see you Friday, Stephen.
Alrighty. Great to be back on the air, eh?
No, Jack.
Take it easy.
Sure is. Sure is.
Have a good one. Okay. Cheers. And so we should say Merry Christmas to everybody because we weren't around when Christmas came past, Deb. We should say Happy New Year to everybody. If it had gone in too much longer, we should have been saying Thanksgiving to everybody. But anyway, you know, these things happen, I guess. If you're running a studio system and you just happen to go off air for 2 weeks and don't say anything at all, you know, it's quite strange. But anyway,
so AP.
Go figure. They keep on charging the credit card. You know, they know how to do that. So,
yeah, right.
There you go. I guess, yeah, they still knew how to do that. Okie doke. So, I'm just having a look at what's on the board and what's not on the board. So, we...
While you look, I want to share...
Please.
I want to share the fact that I learned, I didn't know the last time we spoke, since then I learned from Hatter and looked up the fact that our Super Bowl is in two parts. So those scores from last week get added to the two of their scores from this coming week. And then the highest combined total is going to win. So Wayne is still in the running there with Mr. Hatter.
Well,
so may the best man win.
This is very true. Yeah, this is very true. It nothing is given in this game, right? Nothing is given. However, you are 40-odd points behind. Wayne?
I am.
I'm going to break it to you. Stop. You're 40-odd points behind.
I can make it up in a quarter.
Well, I hope so, because we want a substantially closer match than what's going on at the minute. Yeah? So
right.
He's slated
to win by... I got my new lineup in there.
Okay.
I got my new lineup in tonight. He's probably ready to go.
60-40 are the odds. Yeah.
Dark Horse is doing quite often, so we shall see.
Piece of cake.
Piece of cake, Ron.
I'm
predicting
a 10-point victory on my side.
Nothing that beats confidence, Wayne. And, and of course, the most ridiculously stupid team in the competition, which would be mine, which has been rubbish all year, consistently rubbish, actually, not just a little bit rubbish, consistently rubbish, completely bloody useless. We come to finals and everybody decides to find form at the same time. It's ridiculous. So, you know, it's crazy shit, you know.
There's always next year.
Maybe. Yeah, I'll probably do the opposite next year. I'll come out with all guns blazing, then I'll get to the finals and fall on a fat heap.
I got one word.
New and different ways to lose, Wayne, and I'm just exploring them one at a time.
It was a strange year this year. There was a whole lot of games within 2 points of winning. A whole lot of games, like 5 or 6 games within 2 points of
victory. Now, so which studio am I looking at, Deb, in the midst of all of this? Is it the open poetry one at the top? Or are we doing the classic poem? Oh, we're doing the classic poem next. Okay, thank God for that. We're doing the classic poem next.
I'm sorry, I didn't know what you meant for a minute. There is no topic board, AP, because what I did was I grabbed all the ones that were just hanging in limbo all the time and did
the
list.
No, it's all good. Just beat them onto the board and we'll do them. And so we have read a poem by Edgar Albert Guest before. He was originally from Britain and then came to America and has been published religiously for tens of years because he writes really well. This is a friend's greeting and it's very Christmassy and it goes a little bit like this. To be the sort of friend that you have been to me, I'd like to be the help that you've always been glad to be. I'd like to mean as much as you every minute of the day as you have meant, old friend of mine, to me along the way. I'd like to do the big things and the splendid things for you, to brush the grey from out of your skies and leave them only blue. I'd like to say the kindly things that I so oft have heard and feel that I could rouse your soul the way that mine you've stirred. I'd like to give you back the joy that you have given me, yet that were wishing you a need I hope will never be. I'd like to make you feel as rich as I who travel on, undaunted in the darkest hours, with you to lean upon. I'm wishing at this Christmas time that I could but repay a portion of the gladness that you've strewn along the way. And could I have one wish this year, this only would it be, I'd like to be the sort of friend that you have been to me. End poem.
Paul.
Like that. That's very nice, isn't it? I like that poem. It's got style and skill and all that stuff. Okie doke. Now, we have a clip from Titus, and I think the Titus one is the first one in the studio deck.
Yes, sir.
So let us go to that and play that one, and we shall then come back and do some comedy.
Ode to Christmas time. Gifts are dignitary to our fatherland. Peace offerings from nature. As our gifts given empyrean joy, are we God damned to witness short-lived saintly charms it thrifts? The old lang
syne to
mean
an
age-old leap.
For a minute?
For laity,
we can stop,
yes. Peace
and mind. It doesn't seem to be the right
given
one, does it?
Obligation to show their children this.
No.
So,
not to loathe.
Right, and then paused. Let us try. Should we try the second one? One, or do you want me to pause at this point?
Pause, because I know that the other one is for the one from Monday. So
right.
I don't know if he sent me the wrong SoundCloud or the wrong poem link. And I'm not, you know, my thing is, I'm also not sure which one he prefers that we do. So my thought is this. How about if we do Titus's other poem, I will check this one with him and add it to the next open poetry show so that we get
good
the
idea.
Right one. Cool.
Yeah. No, and he is, you know, Tony spends a significant amount of time crafting the poems, and then he spends a considerable amount of time and effort working out how to best present those pieces with the music, with the effects, with how he goes and recites the poem. So I think we're better off always to wait for him and to take his lead.
Yeah. Can you push the button for just a moment on poem number two? Just so that I can double check that while we're at it.
Okay. Yeah, well let me go down to that poem. So this is Tony for Deb. Yeah. So I'm just gonna push that now.
Yes.
Here we go.
Love would carry us home. The innocence
of youth, early adulthood.
Okay, so we'll stop that for a tick until we put that up there. So
yes,
that's good news.
So let's do
okay.
what we're sure about, and I will take care of the other one, and then we'll do it for him at another time.
Okie dokie. So do you want to just throw that second poem up, and then I'll just play that again, Deb?
Absolutely. Grabbing the link right now. And there you go, everyone. Go ahead and click on that.
Perfect.
One.
Okay, here we go, Tony. We'll play this second piece now.
Love would carry us home. The innocence of youth, early adulthood, connects me to some fabricated fairy tale, the ale sobriety that of Red Riding Hood, or Hansel and Gretel, a loss would prevail. They'll search for those happy ever afters, during which time to aid a soul search well, It might naively place the many laughters aimed at my expense, the outcomes do tell. There are wolves and witches among you, accompany my every move, except that is my death. It would enable my freedom to give up any happiness. For what, the abyss? During my lowest point, a mouse of a man, he stumbles upon what is an inopportune moment, one that will prosper for certain, to maintain time for which one is immune. Having turned again, fate would flash back to a time of innocence. Fate, its first cause, underlying issues, would ultimately go back to a time of uncertainty, presenting a pause. Your carriage await ye. A patience of a saint, a journey of many years, I trust it will carry the memory of your time with her as faint, to take the place of others before you marry. An acquaintance is such as his to oversee the forfeit of the words. These are mysteries of sworn allegiance, to help seek the key to eternal joy. Poets do keep as luminaries, the furry godmother, his love who will abide time between the years before she appears. Your words will have enriched to a confined a love, besides togetherness will add years. Whereas the written word has taken place, love in wait, while time itself will proceed at that point, a grave concern will surface your needs to come face to face indeed, moments of a lifetime I have written, to exceed all fantasy with you my now wife, the romantic at heart now soft as a mitten, what was never enough is larger than life.
Well, there you go. It was, and it did start as a series of fairy tales, with Red Riding Hood and Hansel and Gretel, and it worked its way through the magic of the Black Forest and ended up with Tony and his relationship tonight. So it's kind of fun. Deb, what did you think of Titus's piece?
You know, I like the approach that he took here and the thought of that Black Forest where the fairy tales are set. I like the... There was like this, I don't know the word I want to use, intensity that was driven by the music in the background. Though delicate, it still gave it fuel. And I like where he mentions like the wolves and the witches among you accompany my every move except, that is, my death. It would enable my freedom to give up any happiness. For what? The abyss. But I really like that last stanza there, whereas the written word has taken place, love and wait, while time itself will proceed at that point, a grave concern will surface your need to come face to face indeed, moments of life, it's time I have written, to exceed all fantasies with you, my now wife, and you just ooze there with the romantic feel of the number of poems and stuff like this that he has written, inspired by his wife. It's very enchanting and you know it's very endearing as well. It was a great share.
Yeah, well, it was a great comment, Deb. Thank you. Did you relate to Hansel and Gretel or Red Riding Hood or what was there something there for you?
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful all the way through it. But yeah, what a great way to end it. What was never enough is larger than life. I thought it was, you know, Titus crosses the place up. It really does. This is another example. Beautifully written.
Hatter. And Mr. Wayne Gent, what did you think?
All right, he's a man talking to himself in his mind. He's thinking stuff over in some of his early childhood when he was into Tents and Gretel. He's into all the good things about the early things in life and how happy he was. Then he goes out to talk about an opportune moment later on and how fate would have it. He ends up meeting a girl and and it's trying to be his wife, and so it's all about he's thinking of his spouse all the way through. And it's a pretty good point. I like it a lot. You know, he talks about the struggles he had, and then he talks about finding her and joy coming about, and now she has got all his memories with it, and then it's kind of talking to himself about what I got out of it. Good point.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because it's a lovely poem of perspective, one, and I just love the way that he sort of edged us towards from fairy tale to reality. It's really quite fun.
Right.
So, okie doke. So, Deb, where are we going to go next? Let's have a look.
How about Mr. Wayne Dent? That way he can hang out as long as he wants, but if he needs to leave, he can.
Good
cool.
thinking. Okay.
I ain't going to work right now, but you got to be nice to hear from
you. I was hoping you were going to say that, but I still got you on the board.
So, we're now on the board with Wayne. Now, Wayne's SoundCloud is the Wayne for Deb one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Deb?
Okay, I think all the rest of them. Yeah, all the rest of them.
I hope you all enjoy this.
This is A Christmas Day by Wayne Gent. It was bitter cold on that Christmas morn, wanting to rejoice day Jesus was born. My walking horse brushed to a shiny black, gonna take the sled to church and back. Hitched prize horse to the old family sled to see our church was not far up ahead. Old road was layered in inches of ice. The trip to the church was frigid but nice. Sit with my granddaughter, cozy we felt. We thought the bright sunrise would make ice melt. Sky lit up with red, orange, and yellows. Glad to go worship with my church fellows. Pastor was stern with the sermon he told. Said we should be careful out in the cold. Service was over with one last amen. Headed out the sled to travel again. The air was fresh on this cold Christmas day. With a giddy up, we were on our way. Back over the bridge, we had quite the thrill. I pointed out the old grain grinding mill. And over the hills, down in the valleys we slid, I felt like I was back being a kid. My granddaughter started to sing a song. We loved the trip, though it was not very long. We got home, just barely midday. I sheltered the mare with a pile of fresh hay. Went into my home with heart filled with joy. This was a day that I would much enjoy. Ate Christmas dinner with love in the air. We played a great day. Glad we got to share. Play old Christmas hymns until late that night. It was a fine day. It turned out just right. So I took a shower and washed my hair. Kneel down by the bed and said a prayer. Praise God Almighty for what he had done to save my soul. He sacrificed his son. Ian?
Hey, how's that? I love the timing there to the music. Like, you know, it's like the classic sort of moonshot sort of walk by the British journalist when he's talking about the rocket and he finishes and the rocket goes off. It's a bit like that, you know. It's timed brilliantly. The timing, big tick. A second thing, 10 syllables per line. That's impressive. Iambic pentameter. Now we're getting fancy.
Pretty much.
You know, we're getting into sort of William Shakespeare tree here. You know, so most impressive. So, and you're getting Titus as well. You know, we're moving into the, you'll be throwing sestinas at us next. Anyway. Hatter, did you want to say some words about Mr. Wayne Jens' piece?
No, it was very nice. Yeah, to be honest with you, I got this. Joy just walked in, and I got what I call it. But what I heard was very good, Wayne.
Thank you.
Did she bring you something to eat, Hatter?
No, I don't think so.
I'll be
right back.
And Deb, did you want to say some words about Lane's piece?
Yeah, for starters, I love the choice of music in the background. I found myself singing it in my head as you read, and it was a really nice combination, Wayne. I agree. You kept your voice and your tone going with the background. And then the sentiment there, just the thoughts of the things you did, like sit with my granddaughter, cozy we felt. It was tender. It was filled with love and the true meaning of Christmas. And I mean, it's just, and it's lengthy, but you didn't feel it because it was so smooth and beautiful as you read. I really, really like this one, Wayne. Great job.
Thank you. No, I wrote that 27 days ago, and I've been dying for it to play here on the radio. And all the time I've been sitting there just biting my nails, wanting to hear it.
Most impressive.
It's been such a bummer
now,
to hear.
Talking about most impressive. Sweet, how are you?
Hi, I'm well. How's everyone? So happy to hear your voices. Hi.
Well, here we are.
I know.
It's like a delayed Christmas, New Year, God, even Thanksgiving thing. It's all in one. But...
It is. Wayne, I love this poem. I mean, this is like classical Christmas feeling, smell the, prime rib in the air. I just really love this. It really has like a night before Christmas kind of feeling, sit on my lap and read to the family by the fireplace feeling. I just thought this was spectacular.
Oh, man. Thank you. That's a great comment. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So sweet. How have you been? Have you had a quiet time, when you haven't been on the radio, as have you been able to have a rest or stuff?
Oh, good Lord, no. Are you kidding?
Oh, okay.
Adventures have been my adventures, so, yeah, there's just craziness in my life.
Okay.
We'll talk, Itchy, we'll talk.
Righto. There you go.
Yeah.
Hard to know what to say, isn't it, really? But,
yes.
Oh, well, such is life.
I have my own poem, just FYI, to a prompt that I wrote. So
do you?
I just didn't.
Yes.
I do.
Yeah. Do you want to put
yes,
it up
I
on
do.
The board?
I can do that. Okay.
We have a board. We can do that.
We can do that. We have a board and everything.
It's acting like a studio. It's actually acting like it's meant to act.
Oh, my
goodness. Which is, I know. Go figure.
I'm so excited.
If you paid for a studio, you'd actually get a studio, but what?
I know.
What would I know?
What would you know? Pay for services. So this is, she's a beautiful picture from a couple weeks ago. It's called Beauty in My Madness. In lands of snow and ice, where snowflakes gleam like diamonds, I dance in a Cinderella blue ballroom gown between the realms of fantasy and realities, hoping love calms the rage in me. Clarity changes the scenery as softness coats old memories. But when hearts decide, lips lie, and hypocrites' cold hands hold, frostbitten feeling scar resentment into skin. A crisp wind blows, and the flames of passion start dying. Silence is not peace in solitary confinement. The magnitude of loneliness is cold unkindness. Until I dance again with the one I love, I'll dance here in the beauty of my madness. In poem.
Silence is not peace in solitary confinement. The magnitude of loneliness is a cold unkindness. Sort of feels like we're commenting on this whole studio thing for me. You might have noticed I've been stuck on that.
Just a bit.
And, you know, well, if the stupid bastards don't say anything for 2 weeks straight, and they put a little pop-up thing, and then that's all they do, then you just sort of say to yourself, well, these guys really just deserve to be out of business, and God, I hope somebody does it to them, you know? Really? Anyway, sorry, I'll rant over. Deb, did you want to say something about Sweets? Very nice poem.
Thank you.
Yes. Sweets is a really powerhouse brevity, and that middle stanza there, clarity changes the scenery as the softness coats old memories, but when hearts decide lips lie and hypocrites' cold hands hold frostbitten feelings, scar resentment into skin. I was like, wow. You have this way of taking this beautiful picture and taking it in a direction I would have never expected, such as those lying, hypocritical lips and the frostbite. But it works so well. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice there. It works so well, and it's so gripping. It grabs you with the emotions that are behind there, and the crisp winds blow, and the flames of passion start dying, and just that alone is a pretty powerful statement. I like it all, but I love the middle.
Thank you.
It's very, very nice. Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Sweets' brief piece?
Yes, just so I would love to. I'll put this great, great point. The death of love is a sad, sad song, and it can be so cold and sprinkled with loneliness and these are frostbitten memories. This is a wonderful poem. Maybe want to cry while I was giving you a hug. Great point.
Aw, thank you.
That's nice. I like that one. That's very cute.
Thank you.
So, and just for sweet surprise, I very stupidly, while we were on forced vacation because of the stupidity of our provider, I actually was cleaning some, trying to clean some brushes, Sweet.
Yes.
With solvent. Yes, I was trying to clean brushes with solvent.
Did you have enough
air? It didn't go well.
Not enough
airflow. Probably, but that was the problem. More was the solvent went on the back of my hand instead of going on the brushes. That really was the problem.
Oh no.
When.
That's not good.
When you know, no, it wasn't good. No, it wasn't good. So, and that was a few days ago. So it's just sort of, I'm getting on top of it now. Just so that everybody knows, I'm getting on top of it now. It's all good. It's all good. But Sweet, just for your eyes only, just so you can see what my writing hand looks like. I am sending it to you now. Not on the board. Not on the board.
I know that.
On the board.
Yeah. Not
going
to.
Don't look for it on the board because it's not on the board, because I know there's some mushy people out there who would look at that and might have a nasty reaction. And Sweet, I know that's not you.
Oh no, not me at all.
Because you're made of tough stuff. No. You're made of tough stuff. I know that. Yeah.
Yes.
You do dark
yes.
stuff. You're made of tough stuff. You. That's just you. And
yes.
you've done sort of medical stuff. So.
200,000
anyway, so
gallons of water in my house. Yes.
Yeah. All of that. You know.
Wow,
I know.
Wow. That's
so.
Wow. It's amazing.
So, can you hang out with us for a little while, or do you need to disappear?
No, I'm
going to
hang out.
not. You can
hang out. I'm
going to
hang out for a little. I'm going to hang out for a bit.
Yeah. Hey! That's fun. Okay, Deb.
Yes.
Tell me where I'm up to.
I noticed that on the board there was a request to ring a bell. And I'm just wondering if that is one of those dog barking kind of bells or if I missed something that is happening here.
I don't know, Deb, is the short answer. And so I suspect we have to speak to Mr. Hatter and say, Hatter, what are you asking for a bell, first up?
Yes, I was.
He was asking for a bell.
He was asking for a bell because he haven't had my New Year's Eve.
No. Oh, there you go. Oh, thank God for that. We found it. There's a bell.
And it's whiskey.
Got it.
Oh, is that what? Oof. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad we've got that sorted.
As long as he's not asking for a cowbell, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I have a cowbell right over there. More cowbell.
Do you?
I sure do. Yeah, I'd rag it before on the show.
Now, Deb, my question to you about the poem that you just put up on the board, is there a SoundCloud for that or do I need to read it?
You need to read, please.
Cool. I can do that. Working a lot better than the internet down here that's attempting to put a picture of my hand to sweet, which is not happening, of course, because it's bloody, you know, it's Australia, you know. God help me. Blog Talk Radio in Australia. What a combination. Okay. This one we have got. Okay, sweet. Look away.
Yes. Okay.
It's on your old poetry. No.
Oh, okay. I will look away.
Look away. This is a poem by Dave Muddy. That's my hand as of 30 seconds ago, by the way. Looks like the boy's in trouble again. Hey, that's good timing. That works for me. Goes a bit like this. It starts as just another Saturday night. No conflict or drama is in sight. Then he opens his mouth without no rain. Oh, no. Looks like the boy's in trouble again. Just trying to stay afloat. Why did he mention about that boat? A purchase he was trying to explain. Oh, no. Looks like boy's in trouble again. The toilet roll is upside down when he acts, he's such a clown. Once lost, he tries to regain. Oh, no. Looks like boy's in trouble again. Chores and jobs are not done, for he's playing golf out in the sun. Clouds are forming and it's beginning to rain. Oh, no. Looks like the boy's in trouble again. Friday night out with the boys, playing with his expensive toys. Feelings get deep to keep him sane. Oh, no. So the boy's in trouble again. The toilet seat's not down. Clothes are scattered all around. For here it's simple and plain. Oh, no. Looks like the boy's in trouble again. Smells he makes do not please. He was just finding his release. He was supposed to be in that lane. Oh, no. Looks like the boy's in trouble again. He forgot another birthday. He needs to recover without delay. Should have remembered her favourite dish. Instead, he went out for another fish. Oh, no. Looks like he's in trouble again. He is lost without her love. She fits him like a perfect glove. All alone, lost and afraid. Oh, no. Looks like boy's in trouble again. End poem.
Awesome. Great read.
Thanks. What did you think, Sweet?
Yes. I think that might be an ode to you. Because the boys, you have to be adventurous.
Yeah.
You have to go forward. I really like this because it does, you know, the boy's in trouble, but the boy's always out doing something. I really found it kind of fun.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think it's got something. Yeah. There's something about, well, if you never do anything, well, you never find problems and, you know, you never find problems, then, you know, what the good is there with the world, Hatter? What do you think? What do you think, Hatter?
I thought it was very clever. That's the story of my life. I was middle child with five boys, and they ended up, anytime something happened, they started with me. because it was most likely me.
Yes.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yes.
Yeah, my parents sang the song quite a few times.
It's like that Sting song. It's probably me. You know that one? You know, it's sort of four fingers out, one back, all that. So
both well done. Yeah.
So where are we up to? Where are we up to, Deb? Tell me where we're up to.
How about Gerald Green? Wayne, did you want to comment?
It's a nice point. It just sounds like a rounder to me. If you're a boy, you're always in trouble anyway. So I always stay in trouble about something I did because I did so many things. You got to try and see what's out there. So boys always stay in trouble. That's what I feel about it. They're always going to be in trouble again.
No,
anyway, that's good. Great point. I like the way you read it. You did a good job.
Thank you, Wayne. I agree. Now, Mr. Gerald Green, did he send a SoundCloud in, Deb?
He did.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to go to the Gerald SoundCloud and play it while you put it up on the board.
It's there.
Here we go. Here's Gerald.
Winston Lake Christmas Eve, 1958. Written and read by Gerald Green. No one knows the exact sequence of events that brought about the tragedy that few remember or have heard of. Fester Gordon Ells seemed more excited than usual as he drove his new two-door Pontiac up Rockefeller Street on his way to visit his fiancée. But then, Christmas Eves always do that, as children anticipate the contents of bright packages under decorated trees, while adults try to forget the war and its awful toll. A fresh layer of snow settled upon the village that afternoon, and the street had been salted with a liberal spreading. City truck drivers might be home before midnight. The traffic light at the bottom of the hill was stuck on red, creating congestion in all directions. Maybe that added to Fester's level of frustration that began when he tried wrapping a new hula hoop for his niece. The entire St. Gerald's Church choir was loaded onto a large wagon, pulled by Kurt Anderson's old farmall tractor, on their way to sing carols in front of the mayor's house. The slow pace of the tractor caused Fester to curse in the most unfortunate place, directly in front of St. Christopher's Church. It seems that St. Christopher, the saint of safe travel, was offended by the untimely oath made in his presence and frowned upon the scene. Fester's new car with a V8 engine added fuel to what happened next, as he lost his temper and, without considering the risks, pressed down on the gas pedal and steered around the slow-moving choir. The thrill of acceleration on such an evening, behind a large steel steering wheel firmly attached to a steel dashboard and no seatbelts, made Fester smile as his speed in second gear approached 50 miles per hour. He didn't notice the ice patch at the corner of Walnut Street where his car skidded sideways and smashed into a hydrant that flooded down the hill to the intersection where the light was still stuck. As the choir passed the dreadful scene that took Fester's life, they could hear the chipmunks on his radio singing, "Christmas, don't be late."
The chipmunks. They do it to me every single time. It's like bloody fingernails going down a chalkboard. But a lovely storytelling, as always, Gerald, and beautiful introduction of why and how things were going to get nasty with the wording in front of the church, and then sure enough they did, and I didn't see the chipmunks coming, so that's kind of fun. Deb, what did you think of Gerald's Christmas?
You know, I kind of knew he would take this picture. for one, because, I mean, look at the cars and stuff. It instantly indicates nostalgia. And then he brings it with the details, the name of the roads and Winston Lake. And as he was reading, you just sort of have no doubt that it's a real place, not just something that he wrote to the photo, you know. And then with the descriptions, like the bright packages and the decorated trees, you could picture the scene as he was reading. And the entire St. Gerald's Church choir was loaded onto the large wagon pulled by Kurt Anderson's old farm tractor on their way to St. Carol's in the front of the mayor's house. And you're expecting, like, you know, oh, that's fantastic, and then the thrill of acceleration. But then he didn't notice the ice patch. And you're sort of like, oh, no. And then the car skidded. I mean, very detailed, and since the word has escaped me, it was thought capturing.
Deep.
It was really great.
Excellent.
As usual.
Now, Hannah, are you with us at the minute?
How clever to do the way he's done this. Reminded me of that son, you're going to drive into drinking if you don't stop driving that hot, Rod Lincoln.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Well,
but nice twist at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
You brought in Alvin, Simon, and Theodore.
Went in doubt.
Very well done. I'm impressed.
It was. No, it was very, very well done. Wayne.
Well, I thought it was great. He told us a great story professionally. And one thing you can't do, you can't leave your timber behind a choir, because the choir ain't singing to the choir, and the man does like his musical song, so he can tell what God will do to you if you try to mess around with the choir on the road. So you better watch out for you. You better stay calm, not get your temper up. Anyway, great poem, man. Doug's all the way through. It was a great story.
Good comment. Thanks, Wayne. And I'm going to Sweet. Sweet, what did you think?
Beautiful, funny, typical Mr. Green. He can weave a story without us knowing. He hoodwinked us into believing that we're not supposed to learn from the chipmunks.
Yes. Yes. I believe so.
I believe so. Because were they naughty or were we naughty? I can't figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not fair enough too. No. I think the chipmunks are one of those things that are a pop icon in their own way, Sweet. And they are a modern day comment on the difference between the skill of a singer and the marketing executive.
Alvin was top of his game when I was young. He was a height of his career.
There was something in that.
Yeah.
Okie doke. So I think we've all commented. Yeah, we have all commented. So I am going to work my way to The Cat Who Hated Christmas by Phil the Poet. And I think we do have a SoundCloud for Phil in here, don't we?
Yes, sir.
So here we go now.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called The Cat Who Hated Christmas. My cat thinks he's the Grinch, especially when his cheeks are pinched, planning to cause seasonal havoc to get rid of the Christmas magic. His yellow eyes carefully watching us, growls every time we try to make a fuss, hisses when the callous singers knock, dreams of chasing them around the block. His nemesis stands in the corner of the room, a decorated Christmas tree waiting for its doom. Baubles and fairy lights makes this kitty sick. Making it disappear would be an awesome trick. So when no one is around, he begins his attack. Scurries away when the decorations go splat. Satisfied with fulfilling his task, he purrs with satisfaction. But never will he guess the silly human's reaction. The family scolds him by putting him in a red suit. They look at him for a while, then coo. He's so cute. Grumpy Tomcat skulks in the corner like a Grinch, secretly planning his next attack, inch by inch. End poem.
It's kind of fun, the Grinchy cat, Phil. Yeah? I kind of like that, the Christmas tree. So he attacks it when nobody's there. And it reminded me when I was looking at the Christmas things this year. You know how you get to around about this time and you have to put all the Christmas stuff away, like the tree away, all that sort of stuff, and the timings like that, rah, 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 yeah? I was drawn to the story of the Major League Baseballer. And what he's got is he's got this whacking great big, like 20 feet high, Christmas cupboard. And the Christmas tree's on rails. And so they just push the Christmas tree back into this 20-foot by 5-foot cupboard, 6-foot, 8-foot, and it's there for next year. And it's rolling down the rails again. No cleaning up. So for all of you who have some extra space, 20 by 8 or something like that in your house, I strongly encourage you to think about it in amongst everything else that you're doing. Sweet, what did you think of that piece?
I like a Grinchy cat. I know several cats that try to ruin Christmas simply because they're cats, and I'm a dog person, and cats are evil. But no,
correct.
Bill still loves his cat. I love how Bill tells a story. He's just beautiful. But I think the cat needs to go. The same.
Good thinking. Good thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you all the way. Tick. Tick. Hannah, are you a cat person?
I can't say. No, I'm more of a dog person, but I'm around cats all the
time. There you
go.
Yeah, okay. That seems to sort of be the worst of both possible worlds. See, as I said, seems to be the worst of all possible worlds. Oh, here we go. Patter. The bell rang. Yeah.
I heard.
Yep. Okay, excellent. And Wayne, what did you think?
Yes. Oh. I know how he feels. My cat thinks she's Scrooge. Cats are cool. Let cats be. They're magical. And I told Bob to go to the other room because I told her she didn't finish this crap. good point.
Thanks, Mike. Excellent. Great comment. And Deb, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was really playful and fun, and I liked it the way he took it. And I'm trying to see what it is. The picture he chose is an orange striped kitty in a Santa's hat. But the kitty's got this look on its face like the Scrooge. And I love that he ran with it, and I'm trying to find it so everybody can see it. But he did a brilliant job bringing that art to life. Fantastic share. And I like the family scold him by putting him in a red suit, and they look at him for a while, and he's so cute. But then he gets grumpy, and he skulks to the corner like a Grinch, secretly planning his attack inch by inch, and you just know it will. It's going to get them. It was fun.
All right.
Now I'm turning to the board, and I note, Sweet, that you have a poem up there.
I did. I'm hijacking your show because I pull an AP. AP sent me a picture, and I wrote him a poem.
Come on. There you go.
It's called World Ruler.
Yes.
So if you're ready, this is especially for you. You need a nurse.
Go for it. No.
You need a nurse. No, I would not curse. A medical technician with your condition. Love for the oddities. You challenge your mortality. Snakes and frogs. Fires, koala, and muddy bogs. Shower curtains and cutting arms. Pouring lands and eating wrong. Ankle biters and untold. And now a handful of holes. What the hell am I going to do with you? End poem.
Because
I didn't put that last
one. No, pretty stupid, really. Thank you, Split. Very kind of you to write that. And the only thing that I would note that you could have put in extra was that the tennis professionals are all here for a couple of weeks this time again.
Oh.
And so they started off the network of tennis tournaments in Brisbane. Okay,
oh.
Brisbane. I started in Brisbane. And they had to stop the match on the centre court because somebody noticed there was Bloody Snake there, sitting in the corner around where the tea tables were, and got a snake catcher in. Now, you'll be glad to know that despite the fact that a whole heap of people were literally only 3-4 metres away from this snake sitting in the stands, nobody left the stands. They just sat there, waited for the snake catcher to come. Snake sat there, bit of a face-off. And then got the snake and got it out of there. Eastern brown, apparently, you know, decent size.
Ah.
Enough to
catch nice.
Them. Anyway, but that would have been a nice thing to add in, I think.
I put snakes in there. Your snakes...
Yes,
and your big old frog story, where you're running, popping them over with your car, pop, 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 pop.
Oh, the cane toads.
Yeah,
true enough.
Yes,
yeah, true.
Yes.
Yeah, I was all there. No, I agree. That's very nice. Thank you.
You're
very nice. I mean, the hand is improving. It's a low base. The hand is improving. I've actually got stuff that seems to be fixing it. And there's considerably less. Swelling than there was, so it is working. Looks awful.
Good, I'm
it
glad.
Is working. So it is. No, it's working. Thank you for the poem.
You're welcome.
I like the concepts very much.
you're welcome.
I do. And I am now going to LG Mace, Deb, reading the poem that she sent in, which is only a brevity. It's called Winter White. It goes a bit like this. Winter White, the full moon shining bright. Three animal friends waiting on a hill, looking on a starry night so still. Three pairs of cold furry paws, waiting for Santa Claus. Ping pong. That's a brevity. That's how you do a brevity. It's pretty nice. Ah, sweet. We were just talking. What did you think?
I love it, and yes, I do love this, and I actually had four paws, waiting for four pairs of paws, waiting for Santa Claus, because he had nice big juicy bones all lined up in a row, so they are all very anxious for that, very very grateful
yes.
for the Santa Claus bones, so I relate to this. It's very cute.
I can see that. Mr. Wang Jen, what did you think of that little brevity?
Oh, it's a lovely little brevity. You know, you can't go wrong when you get the full moon, animals, and Santa Claus together. It was a nice little cool brevity fun to read.
Okay, great. No, it was great fun. Great. And Hannah, what did you think?
I just was able to sit back down. I'm sorry, Hannah wasn't able.
Oh, no, it's all good. And I'm quickly going to go to Deb. Deb, what did you think of LG Mace's lovely brevity?
I thought it was a sweet brevity, and I love that it was for the three pairs of paws there.
Yes.
With the full moon. So she gave us, in just a handful of words, she gave us the atmosphere, and then she gave us a smile, a picture, and little furry critters waiting for Santa. Fun share.
It's very neat. Awesome clause. Great rhyme. Okay, so now we're going to Heavenly Angel. And we've got a couple more poems after this. And Heavenly Angel's poem is celebrating Christmas, which is very appropriate. And if we'd had the studio, we could have read and talked about it on Christmas, but we couldn't because the guys at Blog Talk Radio were too busy having a break. But anyway, that's okay. Finally got their proverbial together and we have a studio and here we are talking about Christmas a couple of weeks later. This is Celebrating Christmas by Heavenly Angel and it goes like this. Dreaming of a white Christmas with nuts roasting on a fire, remembering back to times gone by to relive a strong desire. On the silent night of white whispered snow, silver bells ring chillfully in church steeples, You pause on this blessed holy night as a winter full moon gives off a radiant glow. For holy night and jingle bells and Santa's jolly smile, we laugh and sing a little cry. We are happy for a while. Merry Christmas, with lights decorating our home. We're celebrating the holiday season, spending Christmas together alone. End poem. Mr. Wayne Jent, what did you think of that piece?
I don't know whether it's a smile or cry. It's a good point. I see, it's a good point, but to spend Christmas together alone, that's pretty sad the way that ended.
Yeah.
I thought I was more sure that was a,
yeah.
We'd have to sing a little cry. So it's kind of, it's happy and it's crying and it went through all the motions, and it's a good point. I enjoy it. It had a lot of emotions in it.
Yeah, it was fun. Sweet. What did you think?
Can you come back to me?
Of course. Deb.
Thank you.
Deb. What did you think of the piece by Heavenly Angel?
She always has you end her one of her poems with a smile. But for some reason, I'm really taken by the third stanza, "Oh, holy night and jingle bells and Santa's jolly smile. We laugh and sing a little cry. We are happy for a while." It's just, you know, a sweet stanza where it's true. You know, you wrap yourself in the warmth of Christmas for the day and you smile and then you're back to reality before you know it.
Yep.
Great share.
Yep.
That's the warm fuzzy.
Absolutely. And Hannah, what did you think?
Yeah. This same what she Deborah said, without a doubt. It was it's a hallmark. Warm fuzzy, the whole bit, nicely done.
Yeah, I agree. Now, as sweet, have you been able to
Yes. I like the idea of spending Christmas together alone. You spend so many Christmases with everybody sometimes. Like, to be honest with you, it's the first Christmas I spent together alone in a very long time. We ended up having Christmas a weekend later because nobody had the kids. So the alone Christmas was quite fabulous. Sit and watch the tree, watch old movies, do that. So it was a very quiet, lovely night together. So I dig this, spending Christmas together alone.
No, I agree very much. I sat here painting. Sweet. It was very nice. Okie doke. So I am now heading, Deb, to the board, to Dave Prophet's poem, The Winter Queen of Whites, and this is a story about a forest empath, the child of the Dark Mother. I thought I had to put that in first before we started. It goes a bit like this. My dog and I down some lonesome, abandoned logging spur in Pacific Northwest January within the Mount Hood National Forest. There came a glow in the canopy of the forest, ghostly and odd wavelengths as it lit up the Douglas fir trees standing round about, a lost flake within this forest meadow. My dog's ears standing straight up, hearing something beyond me. Then I heard it too, a high-pitched ringing. On my diligence heard, it is singing, clear as bells it was, enchanting beyond all measure. It was then that I saw her standing in front of a shallow lake of tears floating over the snowpack that blanketed the ground. Diaphanous white birds circling, the woman in white arms outstretched. As the birds flew round and round her, my dog and I sat transfixed at the spectacle, for I did not have the heart to intrude, for I was unworthy of their audience. For all the creatures of the forest came unto her one by one. Those animals that were sick or dying. I saw a stag with a broken front leg hobbling over to her. She reached out and touched him, and there came a wailing from the woman, and she fell backwards holding her leg. I could see her pain in her dark eyes. She looked at me pleading, and then she fainted. She let go of the stag's leg, and he stepped back from her, no longer damaged. She came back in some minutes. A peaceful look on her lovely face once again. She touched birds with broken wings and made them whole. Each time a frozen tear appeared at the corners of her eyes, a collector of sins, a collector of the broken, a winter queen of whites, a winter queen empath, a fixer of wrongs, a sorceress of wrongdoings. The dark mother appeared next to my dog and I in a purple litten glow. David, my man, behold, my forest empath, seek her solace when you're troubled. Help her if she calls upon you, for she is special unto the forest, unto me, and unto you, in pomp. There we go. That was a path down which I don't think I've been with Dave before. I was beautifully told. Deb, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought that there was a tenderness to the dog. My dog and I are down some lonesome, abandoned logging spur, and just the thought of the them being lonesome but together was a little sad. My dog's ears standing straight up, hearing something beyond me. That part made me think about the fact that quite often, like the dogs will pick up things long before we do. And clearly the high pitch grabbed their attention.
Yes.
I like that there was birds with the sights and sounds in here, but there was animals that were sick and dying, and he saw a stag with a broken front leg hobbling over to her. And then the healing properties that would come from there. I could see pain in her dark eyes, and she looked at me pleading, and then she fainted. I mean, he's really good at telling a story and pulling us in. Towards the end there where it says, David, my man, behold my forest and path. Seek her solace when you are troubled. And there's just a sort of a tenderness in just those two lines there in a sentence. Help her as she calls upon you, for she is special unto the forest, unto me, and unto you. I love the way he closed it out. Great job, David.
Mm, great. Yeah, it has a real softness and gentleness to it. I really liked it. Now, meantime, must have been something about what I wrote, or think because everybody's left. Deb's just you and I to finish. And we have one more poem by Lockdown Larks called So Santa, and it goes a bit like this. Santa, every year you come through, so in you I have no doubt. But there's this problem, I must tell you, parents say, as Earth, it's on its way out. Daddy says I shouldn't worry you about the melting ice caps, but surely there's something you can do. I mean, do you want reindeer mishaps? And so I write not just for me, but for you and everyone, to get my present under the tree. Can you undo what's been done? I know some things you can do, but no time now for making toys. Instead, if you can start to renew and save the world for girls and boys. No one should go hungry. Please, can you get rid of wars? Ban polluting by the me, 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 and plant trees to soothe Earth's sores. Daddy says we must give, not take, and you, Santa, always give, we know. So can we all have Christmas cake if we love Earth as we love you so?
Oh, how sweet. Daddy says we must give, not take. That's just, I can't think of a better sentiment to attach to Christmas there, you know?
No, it's lovely. I really like that. It just sort of, I don't know, it's got something.
Very clever.
Just reflects something. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it does. But I really like the place. Deb, what did you think?
I really like it too. And I like each stanza, for one thing, he did a good job with his rhyming and stuff, but Daddy says, I shouldn't worry you about the melting ice caps, but surely there's something you can do. I mean, do you want reindeer mishaps?
Yeah.
But just the thought of, you know, a child sitting there stressing over the melting ice caps, and down a little further, I know some things you can do, but no time now for making toys. Instead, if you could start it, renew and save the world for girls and boys. Just this, the heart on this child who's, you know, not asking for a bicycle or a doll or whatever. They're just asking Santa, can you save the world? I find it very endearing.
I actually captured a poem not dissimilar to this when my daughter was 9 years old. in the back seat of the car when she asked me what would happen when the sun ran out of energy. Free conversation.
Wow, what a question.
Yeah. What will happen when the sun... Never forgot. It's been fantastic. Anyway. Okie doke. Well, Deb, it's been lovely to actually do a show, I have to say. It's been too bloody long, but it's been lovely to do a show. So,
right. We had Hatter drink in, and we had lots of visitors, and we had great...
And Hatter's, I think,
oh, and
Hatter's
let's
come
not
back,
forget
so
the
I think
barking.
It must be...
I forgot the barking. The barking, then drinking.
No.
It's like we squeezed a bunch of stuff into the one night, and it only took us a little more than an hour, which is cool. But so relieved that we got to get in here, and it was nice hearing the voices again. And as soon as I started hearing the voices, it felt like we were all apart for years. Each night it was
It felt like a lot longer.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
And the whole board was here, which I love when that happens.
We've done well. So my thanks to you for being patient and considerably more patient than me. Thanks to Hatter for calling in. Thanks, Hatter.
Welcome. Good to be back.
My thanks to Stephen, 76, for coming in and reminding everybody that the it's on Friday. Stephen and Hatter.
We're going to be going back in time.
There you go.
Time machine and go back in time for the first of the year.
That would work. So my thanks to Sweet, my thanks to Wayne, my thanks to all the people who put poems in. I'm apologetic that a lot of them were Christmas poems and we got to them around about now, but at least we got to them. Thank you to everybody. And Deb, when are we back next?
Well, here's the thing. I wanted to wait and see if it was really true, if we really got to do a show tonight. Now I'll reach out to the host and hostesses. I have not heard from Skye, so I don't know if she will have her show tomorrow.
Yep.
But I do know, as you said earlier, that we will have Hatter and Stephen on Friday, and we will have some open poetry on Saturday. And
we will.
It's the first Sunday, so that quite possibly means that we'll have a Murder and Mayhem night once I reach out to JCA.
Yes.
And then that brings us to my first show of the year. And for my first show of the year, I'm going to tell everybody that I just want them to grab whatever their favorite poem from one of my Monday night show from any time during the year and bring that one. And that's how we're going to kick off.
Oh, wow.
Prompt Monday,
and that's a
so
tough choice, Deb.
I reckon
you'd have it organized. Like we'd have them categorized just to look them up.
Anyways.
For me is that I have lost count of how many messages I get from people from a Monday poem that got picked for a front pick. So at the very least, if you can't find anything, go to your profile picture and hit the little picture of the house, and it'll take you to all your front page picks, and then you can pick one of them from there.
What?
There you go, Hannah. What?
Yeah. 100 of them.
Yeah, well.
There you go.
Okay, so I go to the house, my profile.
Yes.
And when you click it, that house takes you to all your front page picks. And then there you're on your own to figure out which ones were from a Monday. But if you just go to your regular page and just thumb through, I'm sure you can tell by the art.
I'm sorry. Where on this page I don't see my front page picks.
Are you on your profile page, Hatter? You know where your medals are? Gold, silver.
My profile. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes. And listen, there's the gold, silver, bronze, and HM. And then the last thing on that same little line is a picture of a house. Those are your front page picks.
Did you find your medals, all your awards?
I might have those hid.
We'll talk you through it, Deb.
Okay, yeah,
I'll find them.
We'll do it tomorrow.
Okay.
But in the meantime, it was great getting to hang out with you guys, and I'm very excited that we are back, and Happy New Year to you both. And
you too.
To everybody listening, we appreciate you and look forward to spending 2024 with you with love and respect.
Indeed we do. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Hannah. And with that, we're going to close up shop, and we will be back with you in the days and weeks ahead. And Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And if I've missed any celebrations, let me know. But great to be back on air again. And thank you, and we will talk very soon.
Night, guys.
See you
later. Bye, everybody.
See ya. Next time.